It's not just a lack of knowledge, or should I say biblical stewardship. There are many obstacles to it, and we will look at them. But the one that stands out at the top in my eyes, and I'm the one doing the study and sharing it with you, is first and foremost, it's a lack of knowledge. And can I say this? Sometimes that knowledge is just not what to do, but it is knowledge as well on what not to do. The Bible, that's why we address the problem. We wanted to see, nobody's ever going to fix it unless we say it's a problem. I'm not going to get saved unless I realize I have a problem. And so that's why I started out with there. But it's not always the what to do. You know, a lot of people will say, well, show me, Pastor, what to do to fix or to make my finances better while you still haven't fixed the leak and the hole that's bleeding the money out the other end. And so sometimes it takes as well knowledge on what not to do as well as it is what to do. I want to give you a couple by way of illustration just to get our thoughts in the right place. For a few years now, I listen and do listen on at least a weekly, not necessarily a daily. I'm trying to do more daily. What was the word I used in the prayer room, Brother Alex? Micro-learning. I'm trying to do this thing called micro-learning. I heard somebody in the world say this. We spend a lot of time doing this. I said we. Before you know it, you've lost hours just. And he says, replace that with just micro-learning, a podcast, a little snippet, a financial snippet on something, a family snippet, whatever. Just a little, small, short burst of knowledge, what not to do or what to do. And so I've been doing that for a while now, and I look into stuff I'm unfamiliar with to attempt to learn something I didn't know before, so as to help me with my future, which isn't far off. That future gets closer and closer, doesn't it? The older you get, it's there before you know it. I don't want to say this to discourage anybody, but that started when I had that men's meeting over here. We had already fixed the finances. We had fixed everything I knew that needed to be fixed. So now if I was in business somewhere, Brother Matt, now I've earned my right to be able to lobby for me to help my future. And that was the impetus of that meeting, because all those things weren't promised. And here I was. Remember, we're talking about knowledge. And I'm sitting there going, I need to think about my future, my family, my children, and myself. And I can't, I could go out and find another church or another job or lobby for myself like most people do. They sit down and they have a meeting and say a yearly performance review, and they say, this is what I'm worth, this is what I'm providing, this is what I can do. And we say, well, that doesn't take place in the church. No, what takes place in the church is men realizing that they double honor the pastor and understand that. I know this church has that figured out now, and the next guy won't have the problem I had. But the impetus of these little bursts of learning what to do, what not to do, it started before that personally, but it got to it pastorally right there. And so at 4 o'clock, I listened to Rob West and Faith and Finance on WCRF, probably the only thing you'll find on there that's good, and a couple other things. And then Brother O'Malley mentioned when he was here, Dave Ramsey. I don't know where his spiritual status is. He can use some off-color comments sometimes. I'm not encouraging you to follow him. I was encouraged today. As I was listening to something, I looked, and he has followers. And if you're followers with his followers and your friends, they overlap. And I saw, there's a couple people following him since Brother O'Malley mentioned that. And he puts out some good little nuggets. Enough said. And so I listen in an attempt to fix, correct, or start something that I should to aid me. Here's a couple. Not necessarily from him, but things that I've learned, and I've said these things many times, but I'm talking about lack of knowledge. And you share knowledge with somebody, and they hear it, and if they have truth, they'll go, yeah, I need to do that. Here's one. If you were to take $100 a month, who's 25 in here? Do we have a 25-year-old in here? We don't. Who? Alicia, you're 23? Yes, sir. Okay, pay attention. I'm going to revolutionize your life tonight, okay? I mean that. If you take $100 a month from age 25 to 65 at the average S&P 500 return, what's an S&P 500 return? Google it. Do your own learning. Dow, S&P, those are all things. I have a widget on my phone. This guy's a... do you have a widget on your phone, Brother Mark? Does Brother Mark look like a wealthy man? He does? Brother Mark does not look like a wealthy man. Alicia, you're just being kind. But Brother Mark is a very wealthy man, and he doesn't flaunt it. And that's why he is a very wealthy man. I can say that, can't I, Brother Mark? And you're very humble about it. You're wealthy in a lot of ways. And it's not, I'm not just saying that financially. But if you go to Brother Mark, Google it, S&P 500, Dow, so on and so forth. The S&P 500, with $100 a month, deposited into it over the course of, and if you look at the average on the S&P 500, the return over the last 4 years, if you just take that as what's happened, you would have $1.1 million to retire with. Somebody says, whew. You have, Leisha, you have that power in your hands right now. Okay? You didn't start at 25. Anybody 40 in here? Katie. Katie's showing up proudly. 40. 4-0. Patty's nodding. I don't know if that's an acknowledgement that she's 40 or one day she's going to be there. She's over there. Is that what I'm going by, Mike, I'm going by military hand signals now. Patty went, what does that mean? She's either overtaking the ridge, Brother John, or she's saying, I'm over the hill. The hill's 40, and you're sliding down it. All right? I didn't start at 25. Now you're throwing this out at me. Well, if you're at 40 and you invest $1,000 a month, $1,000, yeah, look at what you lost in 15 years. Yeah, 15 years, look at what you lost. You put in $1,000 starting at 40, invest $1,000 a month, you can still have $1,000,000. I'm close to 40, preacher. How in the world am I going to get $1,000 a month to catch up because I didn't have that knowledge? Let me give you some tips. A new car, you buy a new car, it loses 60% of its value in the first 5 years. That means over, that means a $40,000, I'm being very generous with this, a $40,000 car is going to be $16,000 in 5 years. If you lose $24,000, I came to church, I didn't come to math class, Ryan said. If you lose $24,000 every 5 years in car deals, don't then scratch your head and wonder why you can't build wealth or reserves or have something to retire with or leave to the next generation or your church. Why? Because you're driving your future today. You're driving around with your retirement today, and then you get there and you don't have it. Social Security. It's just natural just for them to take Social Security. They were supposed to invest it. You've seen in the last 2 weeks what they do with the money they get from us, and they just keep doing more and more and more while they're squandering it instead of us. And I realize why people opted out. And I'm not telling you to opt out. If you do opt out, though, invest it yourself. Don't let them invest it. Brother O'Malley touched on this as well. We sit there and live for that tax return. You've given them that money that year for them to waste, and then you're thinking they're giving you back a reward or something. Instead of taking that, Roth contributions, at least for my age, they lower the younger you are. Is that right, Brother Mark? Am I right? Or Brother Matt, am I right on that? So the older you get, they allow more of a cap for you to catch up, basically. Right now, for me, it's 8. I don't know for what the average is, probably $7,000. So if you get a $7,000 tax return, you could have put that $7,000 in a Roth account that's tax-free when you go to pull it out, no penalties to relatives that you leave it with, and you could have invested just basic mutual fund interest on that. We don't control our finances. We don't control our destinies. We let somebody else to do it. Basically, I say it's because of a lack of knowledge. I say this one often to people, but I feel sometimes it is to no avail. Let's again do some math. Current average car payment. As of last quarter of 2024, current average car payment. I fell over when I read this. Last quarter, do the math, look it up, was $737 for a new vehicle. Brother Mark, you're in that world. Does that sound low? It sounds low. Phew, I thought it sounded high. That's for new. That went up considerably from the first quarter of 2024. For a used car, the average car payment for a used car is $520 a month. That's down. And that can vary. Watch this. Watch how this can vary depending on the interest rate and your credit score. You can get a free credit score check, and you don't have to have a credit score. But in this world, sometimes you kind of have to sometimes. I'm just saying sometimes, unless you just want to be all cash, and you can be that way. Wonderful to you. Glory to God, you can do that. But you can go to creditkarma.com and download the app, and you can begin to watch. You can watch your spending. You can watch everything. There are so many tools out there now. Your own bank usually will give you. My bank will send me an alert at the end of the month and said, you spent X amount of dollars at places you had never went to before. And I thought, wow, and then they chart it and they graph it. It's helped. There is... Can you believe, you know what? My people perish. That's the verse that comes to mind when I think about this. My people perish for what? For a lack of knowledge. I used the Zoom as an illustration last time I was here. I used the other things that I was looking up, the Bond EE series things. I learned that you always should be learning. So average, that can vary depending on an interest rate and credit score. If you take that money and invest in a good mutual fund every month, from age 25 to 65, Alicia, watch this now. You take that car payment and you put it into a good mutual fund from 25 to 65. And let me just say this. Say at 28, you just hit a bump in the road. Just stop for a year. But pick up where you left off. If you do that, does anybody want to take a guess what you can get when you retire? $6 million. Look up what the average millionaire drives. Look up what the average millionaire in the United States of America, we used to think of millionaires as Howard Hughes. Howard Hughes flew the airplane, right? Am I right? Or was it Hugh Hefner? Howard Hughes flew the airplane, the Golden Goose or whatever that thing was. Huh? The Grey Goose. He was a millionaire, and we thought, there is all kinds of millionaires now. Now young people think by getting on social media, YouTube, and all this other stuff, they can get their things up, and that's where they can make money. That's crazy. That's foolish gain. That's absolutely foolish gain. Just being a steward of what God gives you with the income that you have, you can control it and be a millionaire when you retire. Look up what millionaires drive. Look up how millionaires spend their money. Look up on millionaires what they don't do. Just $1, $2, and $3 million people. Not the ones that are billionaires and everything else. So do you want a fancy car today? Or do you want a retirement account later? Preacher, I don't have a fancy car. I put a little exclamation point there because I know somebody's going to say it. Okay, so what do your investments look like right now? Where are you at? What would happen to your family if something happened to you? You're just going to depend on the Social Security system? You going to depend on the Social Security system? You cut your check for your kids, cut your check for your wife, or vice versa? Or are you going to be a steward and say, God wants my success, he doesn't want my failure? We are the ones that fail due to a lack of knowledge. Here's some that I'll give you that just see if any apply. You don't have a fancy car today, but how often do you dine out? I don't know if my children realize this. It was a one-income family, and we lived on, we had a lot, I would like to think. We were very rich in God, but for our children, we didn't eat out. We bought our food. We cooked at home. Here was the highlight of dining out. And I'm not saying you shouldn't dine out. I'm just saying figure it out. The average young couple today, look at what they're, just pull you in. The old preacher said one time, you show me your checkbook and I'll show you what you love. And I couldn't figure out what he meant until I went home and looked at my checkbook. Now you show me your banking app and I'll show you what you love. Because then we're going to see all those little one after another, dining out. Our kids, this is our dining out. When it was their birthday, they picked a place they could go to, order whatever they wanted on the thing, and get unlimited soda. That's what y'all call it up here. Because they drank water, tea, and juices back home. No pops. And it still is trickled over, and now they get to. Took Wesley. Wesley, 7 years old. Papa, I want to go for a burger. I said, okay, we're going to go for a burger, buddy. And we went to Freddy's or Friendly's in Streetsboro. Freddy's. Constantly, burger, burger, burger. Want to go for a burger? Get up to the counter. What do you want, buddy? Chicken tenders. Chicken tenders, kids' meal. Two adult hamburger meals with French fries and a drink. $35. And everybody working behind the counter was at least 25 or older. Those were businesses and jobs that was a starting job to get you through school, high school, and start your journey. Now they want to charge you a livable income, and they're 40, 50, and 60-year-old people there. You know why? They're there because of a lack of knowledge. Surely if somebody told them the truth how to get out of that mess, they'd want to get out of it. But government has taught them to depend on them. We'll help you. Dining out. Credit card interest. I don't have a fancy car, preacher. What's your dining out bill look like? What's your credit card interest look like? Extended warranties that we think we need. Don't they sell them with it? I go to Harbor Freight, get a stupid Harbor Freight tool, and you got to push no at the end for the payment plan insurance extended warranty on it. No, it's fine. It's Harbor Freight. I'll be okay. And people just do it. Unnecessary insurance. Unused memberships. Planet Fitness targets people to make them feel bad at the beginning of the year. They drop that membership for you to suck into it, for Failure Friday to come along, and you forget to drop your membership, and you're still being paid. We could go down there tonight and ask them how many people never attend, and they keep records of it, but they keep paying that bill every month. Unused memberships, buying brand names, food waste. Food waste. We are the most wasteful country in the world with food waste. Bank fees, new cars, minimum credit card payment, cable TV, DirecTV, basic, no extras, $120. Tax may be included. $120, and you could take 20 off of that, put that 100 in a mutual fund, 25 to 65. People have DirecTV memberships that'll last forever. Never think nothing of it. Minimum credit card payment, cable TV, gaming subscriptions. These are all things that I looked up that is just foolish spending that adds up. Gaming subscriptions. I even found out, watch this, people buy, they call them skins. I'm assuming those are the outfits that you can wear as gaming options. And you go in and you purchase skins to put on your avatar to play on these gaming subscriptions. That is, I couldn't even believe the statistics and the numbers on that. Entertainment. Here's another one, premium gas. Oh, I need to get premium. My car takes premium. My expensive car I'm paying $700 needs premium gas. And here's the other one, impulse buys. Can I say why most do that? It's out of ignorance or lack of knowledge. When I ask people to help them with their finances, or people come to me for help for finances, and I say, I want to know everything, you'd be surprised I have to ask the extra questions. And I've helped dozens of people since I've been here through the years. You have to ask the extra questions. What are the extra questions? Those. Because people don't realize how much those are hurting the bottom line. And it's an obstacle. It's out of ignorance or a lack of knowledge. A lack of knowledge of the compounding cost of that. Surely if you had that knowledge, you wouldn't keep doing it. If somebody told you where they could show you expenditures that you're using, Brother Mike, that are flying out the window, and if you were to take those things, you could take out a missionary. You could fund Caleb going through college. You could do any number of things. Would you, as a Christian, say, nah, I'm okay? That'd be rebellious. It's a lack of knowledge. Surely if you had that knowledge, you wouldn't keep doing that. That's practical knowledge. Let me give you some spiritual knowledge. Proverbs 21 and verse 16. Here's some verses to go along with that. The man that wandereth out of the way of understanding shall remain in the congregation of the dead. You wander out of the way. I have given practical grassroots knowledge. If you just grabbed that and went home and did an examination of everything where money's just, and saying, you know what? Pastor said 100 could get me a million. I can only find $50 that's under this category that he's talking about. That's 500,000. How many people retire with 500,000? Don't lift your hand. Lift your head. How many in here right now, if you had to retire today, you have $500,000 in financial assets that you could live off of? The man that wandereth out of the way of understanding shall remain in the congregation of the dead. Verse 17. He that loveth pleasure shall be a poor man. He that loveth wine and oil shall not be rich. You come down to verse 20 of that same chapter. Bible says this, there is treasure to be desired and oil in the dwelling of the wise, but a foolish man spendeth it up. You have oil resources that God will give you as stewards, to whom much is given, much is required. He'll give you something to see what you do with it, and then he'll give you more because he's seen you take his wisdom and knowledge and do something with it. That's oil. There is treasure to be desired and oil in the dwelling of the wise, but a foolish man just spendeth it up. I think all of us can be convicted over those last few lists of things, and you start thinking of stuff that just, I don't do this, and I think I'm doing okay. But Libby will tell you this. You know what I bring to work for lunch? A rack of crackers and a drink in a what do you call those things? The tumblers. And I've done this so long that if Libby sees me on Life 360 go somewhere, she's expecting it better be a counseling session with somebody at Rockneys. Because if I'm going somewhere to eat on my own, she already knows I'm breaking things that I don't normally do and wasting money on perishable items when I can take that same amount of money and go to the grocery store and be able to make how many meals out of it? Hosea chapter 4. Hear the word of the Lord, ye children of Israel, for the Lord hath a controversy with the inhabitants of the land because there's no truth, no mercy, nor knowledge of God in the land, by swearing and lying and killing and stealing and committing adultery. It goes all through all these offenses, and he comes down to verse 6. Bible says, my people are destroyed. What? How? For lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest to me. Seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God, I will also forget thy children. Do you know how many parents leave their children debt? That's the problem. What's the solution, preacher? Or should I say the promises from God? Here's one, Psalm 119 and verse 66. Teach me good judgment and knowledge, for I believe thy commandments. Proverbs 1 and verse 1. The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David. We're talking about a lack of knowledge. King of Israel. What were the Proverbs for? They were to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity, to give subtlety to the simple, to the young man, Elisha, Ryan, Joey, Noah, all you, Aurora, you're close. You could do babysitting jobs and put money to the side and get ahead of the game. Watch this. where did I leave off? To give subtlety to the simple, to the young man, knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and will increase learning. And a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. To understand a proverb and the interpretation of the words of the wise and their dark sayings. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Fear, God, I don't want to make a bad mistake and be a bad steward. It's fear. Proverbs 2 and verse 1, my son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding, yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For God giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walketh uprightly. He keepeth the paths of judgment, preserveth the way of his saints. Then shalt thou understand righteousness and judgment and equity, yea, every good path. When wisdom enter into thine heart, knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul. Discretion shall preserve thee. Discretion shall preserve thee. I ought not to buy that. I ought not to do that. I ought not to spend that. Discretion shall preserve thee. Understanding shall keep me. I don't want to do that out of discretion because I understand that if I put it here, it'll help me. To deliver thee from the way of the evil man, from the man that speaketh forward things. That salesman speaketh forward things. That commercial speaketh forward things. Who leave the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness, who rejoice to do evil and delight in the forwardness of the wicked, whose ways are crooked and they forward in their paths. I'm an idiot. I truly am. I know that, and many remind me of that often. But I also know I'm not an idiot when I hold here and hide God's word in my heart. It is the answer to all the areas of my life that I am unknowledgeable in. So the first obstacle we see is the lack of knowledge. Therefore, what is or should be our response to that obstacle? James chapter 1 and verse 5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. Let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. God, I want to get out of this mess. I believe you can get me out of this mess. Give me wisdom to get out of this mess. And he's going to point you right to that book to start searching for the same things I searched for when nobody was there to help me. Matthew chapter 7 verse 7. Ask and it shall be given unto you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and the door shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth. He that seeketh findeth. To him that knocketh it shall be open. Or what man is there of you who if his son ask bread will give him a stone? That is just daily substance. Sustenance. Or what man is there of whom his son ask bread will give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish will he give him a serpent? That's just daily sustenance. He says if ye then being evil, us as fathers, know how to give good gifts unto our children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask him? God, I'm in a mess. I need your help. Okay, are you going to obey me? Yes, I'm going to obey you. Here's how I'm going to help you to do that. Can I also slide this in here? There is safety in a multitude of counselors. Your pastor demonstrates a desire for perspective. Tell me what you think. Who's this? I'm going to tell you what. Sophia When we had that little financial meeting about this, that, and the other thing, did you hear the wisdom that came out of that young lady's mouth that day? That's perspective. And I'm going to tell you what, there's a lot of pastors that drown and then go to the next church because they're too proud to ask for counsel from somebody. And a lot of men today get into a mess as a Christian and then won't ask anybody else for guidance to get out of it because they're too proud to ask, or they think by being scolded about what was wrong, somebody's rubbing their nose in it. If a father can do that for his son, then what can God do for his children? What's the next obstacle? Let me merge a couple together, because I could spend years on this stuff. Next obstacle, I said the first one was a lack of knowledge. Here's the second one. And this is a big obstacle. Current financial debt. Current financial debt is an obstacle to somebody. I've heard a lot of people say, man, I'm just so far into this, I'm never going to get out. Well, there's a defeatist attitude. I mean, can you imagine that? That's why a lot of people are lost today. Because they're so deep in sin, they don't the wages of sin is death. They don't believe, and then they're trying to figure out how to pay for it. Well, Jesus already paid for it. Current financial debt. Many times the greatest obstacle for most folks to overcome is current financial debt. They say things like, I can't afford to get out of debt. When it gets to that point, you'll make worse decisions and file bankruptcy, thinking that will solve it. It may solve your current debt, which is passed on then to others. But it won't fix the problem, it adds more to it. God will not allow you to just shirk your responsibilities and take it to somebody else. You say, you got to give me scripture for that. I could probably sit here all night and give scripture for it. Let me just give you a person, Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus, if I have taken anything from somebody wrongfully, maybe I'm misquoting it, he said, I'm going to restore it what? Yeah, how many people have you ever seen in a church come forward and repent of filing bankruptcy? And I don't know if anybody in here is. So if you heard, I said before when we prayed, there has to be grace to the listener. Pastor's not shooting. There needs to be restitution. God, there has to be a fix of that. Because you passed it on to somebody else, it's still there. You go back and fix it. You go back and sit there and try and figure out a way. And you know what? If you'll sit down with creditors, you can usually, they'll be happy to most of the time, just get something out of it. And you negotiate between the two and sit here and say, this is what I'll do, and I'll set up a financial plan for it. Most people say it's just, this is why a lot of people get a divorce. I can't fix this marriage. Just going to find another one. I can't fix this debt. I'm just going to file bankruptcy and start over again. You're just bringing the same problems into the next financial situation. You have to seek truth to combat the error you have incurred. I've said many times when I had no real knowledge of financial stewardship, I did know this much. I must have more coming in than I have going out. When I came to this church, that was my philosophy. With the little bit of education I had, there has to be more coming in than there is going out. If you don't, you can't fix the problem. As I was researching, studying, and inundating my mind this week concerning this study, I came across a phrase that I thought was very telling and yet very truthful at the same time. Most folks with money problems and or debt problems need to, and this is what this man used, they need to act their wage. I thought, whoa, that is strong right there. What do you mean by act your wage? Act how you get paid instead of trying to impress somebody else with what you don't have. We say it like this sometimes. We buy things we can't afford to impress people we can't stand to whatever. I've even forgot what that says. Who are you impressing? We've all been guilty of that. Can we all raise our hands to that? Except for the young people and even young people. My day and age, you hoped your parents would take you to the clothing store before you went to school in September so you could have new school clothing so you could be the fancy kid. And here I came in with barn boots on and silage smell and cow manure smell and everything else. It was intimidating. It was embarrassing while everybody else comes in and paying for things we can't afford. We still do it. There's people that you got to act your wage. You ever looked at somebody? Libby and I were driving down the road that day, and what was the name of that car that I said was an SUV? And I said, what was it? Ferrari or something has an SUV? What was that car I was talking about? And I looked it up, and that car was 5.8. Was it $500,000 or was it? No, what was that SUV? Was it a Rolls Royce? And what was the price on that? Was it the sticker was under $1 million? In Ohio? So you can have salt all over it. Well, I only take it out in such. No, you don't. And I'm going to tell you this for young people. It was for me. Do you know how many cars I've went through since I've been up here? Never bought a new car. I've understood that principle when I was a lost person. But do you know how many cars I've had to buy because they rust out? Because you got to figure that into the equation too. Act your wage. Meaning they do not live in the direct proportion to what they spend or how they spend. And when you do that, it becomes a formula for disaster. It doesn't just happen personally. It happens congregationally as well. No one is immune from poor spending habits. The only ones who are immune from poor spending habits, and they're not really immune, are those who act their wage. They live within their means. It is tied up in having the knowledge of origin and the object and the obstacles of finances. When we lack that knowledge, as we discussed, it then becomes an obstacle. Let me give you an example. Now I'm closing. I came here. I'm not rubbing anybody's nose in it because most of those folks aren't here that made that stupid decision. I came here and inherited a $500,000 debt that wasn't mine. It wasn't the many who paid it. But through doctrinal principles, determination, discipline, and direction, it was, is, and was paid off. In less than eight years. $500,000 with a congregation this size paid off in less than 8 years. How? From scriptural principles. And all while I was saying this, many people when I came here were double income families. The Bible teaches single income family, if you will. Well, not necessarily. Because the Proverbs 31 woman made a lot of money and she didn't go to a full-time job out there. She had a full-time job herself. Okay? But watch this. While some women were coming back and being keepers of the home, I was losing that income. But God was still paying off the debt. Because we honored biblical principles. This is why all financial institutes ask for financials when lending to somebody. Even churches. They deal with the risk of lending to people who could care less or refuse to act their wage and understand principles. Here's what the average person does when they go sit down and get a car. If you can get the payment to this, we'll take it today. Is there anybody been a car salesman in this church? They love to see you coming. They love to see you that are at their mercy. And then they run your credit through so many different financial institutions, Brother Mark, don't they? Till they can find the one willing to lend to you at this interest rate, and guess who's making the money off of you? Those that have a savings account and those that have money markets and everything else. And you will pay the 10%, I will make the 4%, and the bank will make the 6%. And you are driving around your retirement. This is a major obstacle. This one would go hand in hand with this next one, and I'm stopping here. First obstacle, lack of knowledge. There's been a lot of things thrown out tonight. You young people should grab onto them. I said to Noah in the prayer room, Noah, if you just got a job of some sort. Mom and Dad already have, and I had this. Every one of my children, and I'm not boasting, I'm just saying this. Every one of my children, with the limited intelligence I had, I set them up for success to go into their marriage. Every one of them had their own vehicle. Every one of them had no debt. And every one of them, yeah, no vehicle, no debt. And they walked into their marriage. Do you know how many people walk into marriages with debts on both sides? No vehicles, and then they start the terrible journey. Noah, you get some kind of income And they got to live at my house rent-free. I know Brother O'Malley's taught them to pay a certain amount. I don't know. I never did. I struggled. I didn't put my children through college, so I helped them get their first house. I just felt a responsibility. I want to. Leadership is about facilitating the success of those that you're leading, not enabling them with their stupidity. You follow what I'm saying? Noah, you could get some. I believe if you put your mind to it, you're smart enough, Ryan, you could probably make somewhere, somehow, $100 a month. And Mike, as financially minded as you are, you could probably hire Noah for certain things just to teach him these principles. I don't know. He looks like he's scratching his head. You might have to go out on your own. I don't know. And if you started putting that away, you could establish an account with him as a not a co-signer, I'm trying to think, a signature on that account, and begin this process. That by the time, if you wanted to go to college, you'd already be ahead of the game. Have possibly a car and possibly be able to pay off your college. Ask Caleb how difficult it was because he didn't have some of this knowledge before he went to college. So you've got it. Lack of knowledge. You're getting that knowledge tonight, ladies. What's the next obstacle? Lack of knowledge is another one is what? What was the second one? Current financial debt. Don't get into debt. Getting into debt means you don't trust God. I can't say this enough, and for those that were here, I'm not being mean. How can you build a million-dollar facility when you don't have the finances coming in to be able to do it? But you think by building the facilities, the finances will come in to pay for it. Show me that principle in the Bible. It was doomed for failure when we have a book that guides us not to that. Now, I will say this. There are times when it may happen. But my biggest thing right now is to get a reserve of at least 3 to 6 months of operating expenses if something happens. We don't have that yet. We're still recovering from all the other stuff. And we're still paying. Can I just say this? Corson, water pipes, all this kind of stuff. Most of those damages, Brother Nicholas, are from poor installation to begin with. It was doomed from the beginning because biblical principles weren't being put forth. And you have to be thinking about this stuff all the time. Brother Matt and I sat down with the insurance company last year, negotiated. I did it with Gene with her stuff. Insurance people, you pay insurance and you never get. My house flooded. It was thousands, tens of thousands of dollars of damage. And they're sitting there saying, I had to pay for that. How am I going to pay for it unless I prepare for that? A prudent man foreseeth the evil and what? Hideth himself. And so Matt and I negotiate with the insurance company a lower premium, higher deductible. We'll have that money. We'll get the insurance. And then you know what they do? As soon as we negotiate it down, the following year when the new thing comes out, they raise the prices of it. You say, well, what? It just seems like we can't win for losing. No, that's where God comes in and protects and keeps the clothing on our back, keeps the shoes on our feet. We look for, I'm going to need a $60,000 vehicle to be a reliable piece of transportation. You've just told God you don't trust him with your transportation. You have to have something that you trust the insurance company and the Ford Motor Vehicle Company with. It's thinking. Instead of trusting him, Brother O'Malley sat there and said, I've got this age of a vehicle. I've got a 2015 pickup truck. I got a 2018 van. It just depends on how you look at it. It's lack of knowledge, current financial debt, and the next one was this. We'll pick up this one next time. Inability to control spending. Oh, I don't know how many people I've sat down with through the years. And we negotiate and we sit down and we get a, what do you call those things? No, not a budget. You just put it all in one kitty. Nope. You take all your debt and you put it in one kitty and you make one payment. Help me, somebody. Consolidation loan. And then all of a sudden they sit there and they go, okay, I'm not paying 25%+ on all these cards. I'm just paying 12% maybe on a high risk consolidated loan and so on and so forth. And then they go like, and this is just what happens. I've watched so many of them do it. Whew. Oh my goodness. I go, look at this, man. I'm not robbing Peter to pay Paul. I got $300 extra. And off they go. And the next thing you know, the shiny object grabs their attention. And they start it over again. I cannot say enough. That is crippled too high for crutches. To get into that mess, consolidate it to fix it, and then start on the journey to do it all over again. And can I say this? And if you're in here today, I'd love to help you. I'll do whatever I can to help you. Matt's a financial guru. Brother Mark's a financial guru. There's probably other people in here. Don't be too proud. Start today to perform triage on the problem. And don't waste your whole life wasting away and have nothing. Lay for yourself up treasures in heaven where moth nor rust doth corrupt. Not here. We are living for there. And some of us are going to get there and have nothing except judgment. What did you do? And you're going to say, I hid it. I didn't do nothing. I spent it. I used it. Father, we'd ask you to help us tonight. Oh, Lord, just wish somebody would have helped me. Came to the game late. Tried to pick up the pieces, and Lord, I'd like to say you've helped and blessed in many ways. Help us to teach these things and these young people, grab them, do something with them and not get into that damage. And Lord, that we pray for these ladies in here that'll marry somebody one day, and we pray that that one they marry is being taught principles too, and they don't bring their spouse into a financial situation and then argue for the first 2, 5, 6, 8, 10 years in divorce over financial problems. God, help us today to glean the truths from your word, apply them to our lives, repent where we've failed you, ask you for help to make it through the way. And we plead all these things in your name. Amen. Let's all stand to our feet. Man, where's the time go?
Altars are open. Here's a good start, God.
I ticked the box on everyone he's talked about. Lack of knowledge. Overcoming debt, so on and so forth. Could you help me with that? He's a very present help in a time of need.